You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Welcome, this is To the Journey.
To the Journey!
Brought to you by Trek.fm, a Star Trek Voyager podcast. I am Tristan Riddell, and with me is...
Lori.
And Charlene.
We are here to bring you a weekly podcast dedicated to Star Trek Voyager. That's right, Star Trek Voyager. Some of you may be asking, you know, why Star Trek Voyager? Why not another Next Generation podcast?
No!
That's right, ladies. We don't need another Next Generation podcast. Because there are, what, I think at last count, 16 million out there in the Apple podcast-verse?
Last night.
A gazillion.
Yeah. Yes.
And how many Star Trek Voyager podcasts are there, do you think?
Two?
Yeah.
Two? Yeah, maybe. Like, we're here to beef up those numbers.
Yeah.
And
right, yes.
On this podcast, we're going to talk about pretty much anything Star Trek Voyager related, like anything general. I mean, anything from Tom Paris to Leola Root Stew. And we also could occasionally rewrite an episode that we thought could be, you know, maybe a little bit better. Or we could do a deep character analysis, like, why is Neelix's hair that way? Don't know.
It could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And once we get a few more listeners from you guys out there, we'd love to hear what you think about the podcast, what you want us to talk about on the podcast, what's your favorite part of Star Trek Voyager, you know... Basically, anything that you could possibly want about Voyager, from the Delta Quadrant to the Delta Flyer, anything like that. Now, first off, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us at trek.fm/contact. Again, that's trek.fm/contact, and there you can specify that you want to talk to the journey.
To the journey!
To the journey!
Now, first off, what kind of hosts would we be, ladies, if we didn't tell who they're listening to? Now, I am Tristan Riddell, and I am the host of Trek.fm's Hyper Channel, your 3-minute to 4-minute bit of anything Star Trek news. How about you tell the listeners how you're associated with Trek and Trek.fm?
Well, I am Charlene, and I am the managing editor, also the Voyager series editor on Trek.fm, so I do lots of things there. I am now working with new writers, and we are pimping out new articles, which is awesome. And I am eventually going to get back to working on that Voyager episode guide. I kind of had a stopping point at season one, and then life got crazy, and I do promise I am going to start on season two very soon. Eventually, I will also get going on weekly live tweet watchings with the Trek FM account, which I was doing every week for a little while. I will get back on track with that again.
Don't give us empty promises. Okay.
No,
these
are
not
empty
promises. Let us know if you're
actually
going to do it.
These are not empty promises, I assure you. I'm just telling you essentially that I've been a slacker in this sense because there's been a bunch of other things going on that have made my world a little crazy. But hey, what else is new, right? So,
life.
You know. Yeah, so that all is happening, will be happening, along with To the Journey. And so that is essentially what I do. I'm all over Trek.fm, and I love it.
Charlene, you are all over Trek.fm. Now, Lori, please give us your information.
All right. Well, I'm not all over anything, to be honest with you. I primarily just write for Trek.fm, and I write articles about Voyager. And honestly, I've been a pretty much a slacker, too, to be honest, because... Life is just crazy and busy, but I will make you a promise, too, that I will get back to it. But, yeah,
you
that's
are.
Basic. Yes, I am. I'm not
absolutely.
Making...
Well, this is how we're getting back to it.
That's right.
This podcast will give the listeners joy and, more importantly, Star Trek Voyager joy, which is severely lacking from the interwebs.
Absolutely.
Now, Lori, you're our local Trek Southern Belle, which now Southerners have been extremely lacking from the Star Trek universe. Like, all I can think of is Bones, maybe.
Well, there you go. I have to represent. I have to really
absolutely
bring it
yeah
out. I have to do it. I have to
yeah
show
so
that.
Do it. Do it.
You just got to drop the drawl sometimes.
Gaps to
on
do
the
it
interweb. You got to represent who you are. But Charlene, where are you located? I mean, we got Lori in the south, which is a very general area, but I'm from Chicago. Charlene, where are you at?
Well, if we want to be general about it, I'm in the north. I am in North Dakota, if you want a little more specific. I'm in the Fargo area. And no, okay. People here don't all talk like they did in the movie.
Oh, that's cool. I like the way they talk.
I was going to say, I was like, oh, you got Arby's all over my cheek, dear Bob, you know?
Well, yeah. Some people talk like Fargo. Actually, though, if you hop on over to Minnesota, more people talk like that than they do here. And I think the native North Dakotan accent is a little more Canadian than anything.
Okay.
But I'm originally from Wyoming.
Well, I feel like people like just north of me in Wisconsin, they talk a little bit more like the people from Fargo than where you are. But maybe that's just me. But Charlene, you're all over Trek. Lori, you specifically write for Star Trek Voyager.
Right.
And since, like, that's what brought all three of us together. I mean, we all wanted to do a podcast. We all, like, pretty much all three of us had the idea, you know, I really want to do a podcast. What's not out there? Well, Voyager's not out there. You know, and then we kind of all three had an individual thought of creating this, and then we're like, oh, you want to do this? I want to do this? Let's do it together. Yeah. And
right.
Let's just talk about, you know, Trek in general. I mean, about how we got started, and then we'll get into a little bit later about Star Trek Voyager specifically. But, Lori, what was your first encounter with Star Trek? You're kind of a newbie, aren't you?
I am, but I have recollections of watching the original series with my dad, and I remember the specific episode. I can't ever remember the title of this episode, but it's the one where once the alien people become teenagers, they get sick and they die, and some chick in there named Miri or something like that. I remember that episode, but I mean, that's all vague and nebulous to me, but I always loved sci-fi when I was a kid. I would always, every Saturday afternoon when that crappy B movie came on, I was there. I was planted in front of that TV. So if it wasn't always Trek, it was sci-fi for me. So,
were you like a Flash Gordon fan?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love the original, and then the remake in the 80s was amazing to me. Yeah. Oh yeah. That was really cool.
I love the addition of the 80s hair in that Flash Gordon version. That definitely enhanced the sci-fi.
Definitely. Totally. And 50 cans of hairspray could only improve Flash Gordon for me. So there you go. I mean, there you are. Definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah. So.
Well, Charlene, what about you? Like, what was your first Trek interaction? Do you remember that, or were you always around it, kind of like Lori?
Well, I started out pretty young. I remember being 6 years old and watching episodes of the original series in syndication with my dad. And it was on, he was watching it, and so I kind of wanted to watch it too. And I remember in my simplistic child mind thinking, oh, this is really cool. There's all these people, and then they're in space. And they travel to these alien planets, and they talk to aliens, and it's really cool. I just was really captivated by that. And then, of course, as I've gotten older, I've been able to appreciate it much more in a much deeper sense. But that really was my start. I just thought it was cool that this was a show about people in space.
I always wanted to go to space. I always thought that was the coolest thing ever, and I couldn't understand why you had to know so much math and science. That just blew it for me.
I was just about to say that, like, I do not have the math skills at all to go to space. Not even close.
Yeah.
I wanted to be an astronaut when I was 10 years old, and I was a very average math student, and my mom kind of told me, "Hun, you're going to have to work a lot harder at math if you want to do this. You don't understand. You have to be the cream of the crop in order to achieve that." And then I realized, you know, I don't think I want to work that hard at math.
I just wanted to take the ride.
I want space travel to be for the average person.
Right.
I don't really want to work too hard.
Yeah.
Well, with TNG, I mean, you know, the Enterprise D was basically just a cruise liner. So, maybe someday.
That's what I wanted my space travel to be.
I was listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson's podcast, Star Talk, and it's one of my favorite non-Trek podcasts. And he was talking about how if NASA was smart, they'd be tracking the future astronauts in today's schools right now. They say that the people who are going to be walking on Mars are in middle school right now.
Wow.
And it just kind of blows my mind to think of it that way, that if you could find a kid who was just that crazy exceptional in math and the sciences in middle school, you could track their progress, and maybe someday our culture will change enough that those will be our rock stars.
That would be so cool. I mean, just being a teacher and just trying to get kids interested in math and science, that would be so cool if NASA could do something like that. That would inspire them so much.
I mean, that's right, listeners. I mean, you have two teachers and one guy who's married to a teacher, so you're going to get a lot of emphasis on education.
That's right.
And we're going to try to educate you in Trekology.
That's right.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roll call.
I guess I'm the man out where I didn't get my start in TOS. I got my start in TNG, and I am, compared to a lot of people who I follow on Twitter, I'm quite a young pup. And TNG was my first interaction with Trek, and unlike you guys, it wasn't through my father, but it was through my mom. My uncle was stationed overseas, and he didn't have any access to Star Trek, and they heard about Next Generation coming out soon, and so my mom would tape every single episode of TNG as it aired originally, and then ship him the tapes overseas so that he could watch them on his VCR. And so I was born in 86, and TNG came out in 87, and so I was 1 year old, and my mom would sit me up on her lap, and that was my exposure to Star Trek, was from one year. And she had no idea what she was doing. She had no idea that I would become obsessed with it and then someday start a Star Trek Voyager podcast. So the rest was history.
Tell you what, Freud would be really proud. Because everything comes down to the mother in Freudian theory, does it not? And so she did this to you.
I don't know what stage of Freudian development that was, but maybe we should invent a new one where it was a Trekkian stage.
Totally.
Hey, there you go.
Let's amend that in.
Yes. Write your own psychology.
Also, I guess you could say, well, I mean, I do all the time, but nobody ever listens to me. My first Star Trek show wasn't TOS, but my first Star Trek movie... actually, my first movie that I ever saw, I'm talking about any film ever, like this is including Disney and whatever else kids watched in the 80s, my first film was Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Oh, wow.
And I have distinct memories of that. Some people call me a liar, but I swear I can remember being in my high chair and watching Star Trek The Motion Picture in my basement.
Wow, that's almost as bad as Harry Kim saying that he remembers being in his mother's womb with Kristen.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Like, when he said that, he's like, it reminds me of being in the womb. And I was like, I know how you feel, Garrett Wong. I also remember something early from my childhood.
Oh, Tristan, you need help, buddy. That's so cute.
It's been said.
I can't say I remember that far back. My very first movie, I believe, was Star Trek IV. I remember my mom and dad, we were like shopping in Target, you know, just doing our weekly roundup of stuff. And they saw Star Trek IV on VHS. It had just come out. And my dad, he got all giddy. We got to get this. We got to get this. And granted, VHS tapes were like $25 at the time. And so that was.
And it came in that purple case, didn't it?
Yes, it sure did.
It came in that purple sleeve. Yeah. I had that tape.
Yeah. I think it's still downstairs with my parents' entertainment center. And so we got it. We brought it home and watched it that day. And I remember just watching the heck out of that thing. I watched it over and over and over. And I'm not even really sure why. I just did. Because I mean, now I realize as a kid, I didn't really get Star Trek. Certainly not the way I do now. It took me till about age 9 or 10 to really understand what was going on in just a regular context, much less the deeper meaning. But yeah, there was something about it. I was attracted to it.
Well, think about it, though. I mean, like, if out of all six movies, I mean, original series movies that you could start on as a kid, The Voyage Home is the absolute best one to start on because it has so much humor. You don't really need to know what happened in Search for Spock. I mean, you do a little bit to understand what Spock's going through mentally.
Yeah.
But once that's kind of out of the way, you just realize, oh, you know, he's lost his memory. You know, bam, end of exposition. You can continue on. Right. And just, I mean, just the fact that Kirk says double dumbass on you
That's
could
true.
Be one of the greatest events in Star Trek movie
this
history.
This is true. And they were in a more modern time, and so maybe that had some appeal as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Modern at that time, yeah.
Well, yeah. Yes, at that time.
The only movie I remember seeing, Trek movie ever seeing at the theater was the Whale movie. And just sitting there watching that, I think I'll just give my age. I'll go just go ahead and say I was 16, I think. And oh my God. But but just thinking, what are they talking about? What in the world? Because, I mean, I had seen the original series, but that was about it for me. I had friends who had the movie posters on their walls, and I knew who Kirk and Spock were just from that previous experience. But then all of a sudden, randomly, I decided to go to the movie and thinking, he took LDS? Are you kidding me with this? What are you talking about? What are you talking about in this crazy robes and you're swimming with whales? What the heck?
But ordering pizza.
Yeah. And I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I remember thinking it was funny, and I'm sure I probably watched it as many times as possible. But I mean, like you said, it meant nothing to me. It was just another part of nostalgia, another part of something I was experiencing. Right, I just chalked it right up there with Michael Jackson and everything else that I was into at that time. But anyway, nice. Yeah.
Well, no, that was definitely, Voyage Home was definitely the Star Trek movie that I watched the most as a child. That and Search for Spock, I think,
yeah,
were the two that I watched the most. But I think that was mainly because those were the two that were on TV the most at that time. Mm-hmm. And so we just recorded it off of TV. And back then, whatever I recorded off of TV, that's what you would watch constantly. Like, I had a TNG episode. It was it was the Q episode about Robin Hood. What was it called? Like Q-less or
yeah,
nah.
I think
yeah.
If no. It wasn't
or no, it was Cupid. It was Cupid.
Cupid, yeah.
It was Cupid, and like that was one of the few episodes that I had taped that we didn't send off to my uncle, and so I just watched that constantly. It was on constant loop at home.
Oh, man, I wore out tapes doing that.
Oh, wow.
Watching Star Trek episodes over and over, I cannot tell you how many tapes actually broke in my VCR from overuse. I'm not kidding. This happened so many times. Like, oh, my God, another one broke. How am I going to get those in that specific order again? Because I got so used to watching them in a specific order. And granted, this was Deep Space Nine and, like, Voyager or TNG and DS9 airing at the same time, and so they'd alternate. Mm. And I'm just thinking, how am I going to do this? I was so mad.
I always thought that my dad was, like, some sort of magic technical surgeon, because whenever that would happen to me, because that very well did happen to me, and I'm sure tons of other Trekkies, he'd be like, don't worry, son, I got this. And he'd whip out the tape, you know, the Scotch tape, and he would just, you know, put it together, tape it, wind it with his thumbs, you know, and then put it back in. And he's like, it's all good. It's all good.
Oh, yeah. I needed your dad so bad.
But I actually taped every single episode of Voyager. And it was a big deal to me because I made sure that I was home every single time that it was on. So I had one set of tapes that were for new episodes. And I had a second set that was on UPN. Like, they had, like, three episodes a night or something like that on UPN. Hmm. Or, not, I don't think three episodes a night. They had one a night. And so I got, like, five episodes in a row on one tape and then the new one on the next one.
Okay.
And I hate to break this to you, Lori. I was 16. As you were 16 when you saw Voyage Home in the theaters, I was 16 at the height of Voyager's popularity.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of was too.
That's okay. That's all right. It doesn't bother me as long as
we
it doesn't
just
bother
babies.
You.
Well, if the listeners don't have any problem, then I'm not going to have any problem with age difference, because that I always say that that's the beauty of Star Trek, is that whether you started watching when you were an infant or whether you started when you were much later in life, it doesn't matter, because Star Trek's been around for over 40 years and there's so much history that, like, even Star Trek babies who got into it yesterday have so many series to look forward to. They got TOS, they got TNG, DS9, Voyager, Enterprise, even the animated series if you want to go that deep.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. And, yeah. I mean, I wish I had started when I was younger. I wish I had shared this experience like you guys have. But, I mean, I have my own experience, and I think that's perfectly okay.
Absolutely, and that'll definitely add to the dynamic because, you know, we want all, you know, all aspects of Trekdom in the podcast. Mm-hmm. And Voyager, I think, was, I mean, for me, Voyager is not my, it's not my favorite Star Trek show. But when I say that, people think, oh, well, then you know, you must not like it. Like, it's not my least favorite, it's not my favorite. But the thing is, I love it. I love it so much. I love watching it. I get this homey, warm, fuzzy feeling whenever I watch it because it reminds me of when I was going through school at that young age.
Right. And yes, where, me too.
You know, as a lot of nerds are, you know, they don't have that many friends or they go through a hard time. These were people who I could go to when I was having a rough day. As sad as that sounds, I feel like a lot of Star Trek people can relate with that. And to me, Voyager, the reason why I love Voyager is because it's about family. Mm-hmm. More so than any other show.
Yes,
there was a lot of brotherly love in TOS, and there was a lot of friendship in TNG, and there was kind of just, you know, working relationships in DS9. But with Voyager, was all about family, and Janeway herself said it all the time, that we're not a crew, we're a family. And
love that, too.
That's probably the main, like, I love so much about Voyager, but that's probably my main thing. Lori, what about you? What do you think your favorite thing about Voyager is?
I don't know. Right away, I mean, I started with Threshold, which is totally the craziest episode to ever start with, and to keep wanting to watch. But I think I was on YouTube or something like that, and I just saw this clip, and I thought, well, it's Star Trek. I'd just gotten through with TNG. My sister had all the DVDs, and I borrowed those and watched all of that. And then I saw this clip, and I thought, well, what the heck? Let me look. Oh my God, what is this? What is this craziness?
This guy's losing his tongue. What's going on?
He's dying. He wants pizza. He wants to kiss this girl. He's crazy. He's insane. So, I mean, but that intrigued me. That really intrigued me. That made me think, okay, I have to know more about this. So this was when Netflix was still like a DVD at a time. So it was driving me completely crazy. So it was, like, I would get it, I would watch it in like the next 2 hours. I'd be mailing it off. It'd be in my mailbox because I was just so addicted. I think by about the fifth episode, I was just addicted. I could relate to these people. And really, Janeway was the one I could relate to because, as I already told you, she was really my age. She was somebody my age. And I could relate to what was going on. I mean, I don't know. There was just something appealing to me. I thought I could have a conversation with her and she would understand what I was going through and I probably could cry and moan along with her and we would get along. That's what I liked about it.
And have some pecan pie and it would all be better.
There you go. And definitely some coffee for sure.
Oh, of course.
Definitely. Didn't we think about calling this podcast like there's coffee in that nebula or
something like that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, Lori, I applaud you for sticking with it after your first experience of Voyager was Threshold. I didn't know that there was this much Threshold hate until I became a member of the online community.
I'm telling you, it's shocking. It really is shocking. I mean, it's not that bad to me, but when people start talking, it makes me laugh. That's what I like. It's funny.
Yeah, it is because it's so off the wall. I mean, it's really outrageously out there. And if you just sit back and watch it and enjoy it for what it is, it's hilarious.
It is. It's really, really funny.
People who gripe and moan online constantly, I have a Star Trek question of the day on Twitter. There are some people who will use any excuse to morph the question of the day into how much they hate Threshold.
I don't doubt it.
Like, some people think that it's right up there with Spock's Brain and Shades of Grey and things like that. But the thing is, enough time has passed with Spock's Brain that people are like, hey, you know, come on. Yes, it's a bad episode, but you just got to learn to laugh with it because... Yeah. You know, we love the good times and the bad with Trek, and Threshold is one of those where I just watch it and I'm like, okay, that happened, lizard babies, that's cool, you know, if that's your thing.
Whatever.
You know, that's fine.
It is what it is, isn't it? I mean, what more do you say?
I mean, there's nothing to say.
Nothing else. It's got entertainment value.
It does. It's funny. It's really funny.
So. I'm sure there are some people who are screaming at their iPods or at their radios right now who are like, how can you like Threshold?
Yeah. Sorry. No, I think there's been worse done in Trek.
Yes.
But I want to know what you guys thought when you... Well, you already talked about this a little bit, Lori, about what you first thought when you were watching Voyager. But you did not watch it as it premiered, right?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
I did not.
Now, Tristan, did you watch it when it was first coming out?
I did see it when it was aired. I remember watching it for the first time and taping it and just was so in love that we were going to have two Star Trek series on at the same time again.
Yeah.
That's what really excited me.
Yeah. This was the quote-unquote golden age of Star Trek. We have not before or since been this spoiled by so much new Trek at once. And I remember the buildup for Voyager. It got me so excited. There was so much hype about it, especially with this being a female captain and Kate Mulgrew and the controversy about what happened with the captains. You know, Genevieve Bonjold having to make an exit and everything kind of thrown
right
out of the balance. Like, oh, okay, is this going to happen? Are we going to have to recast? What's going on here? And then Kate Mulgrew comes in and everything is great. And then it premiered and I loved Caretaker. I loved the pilot. I think it's one of the most solid pilots Trek has done. And I just thought, this is going to be a great freaking series. I'm so excited. And I'm just... I was my 13-year-old self in all of its glory. I was just so freaking happy. I loved it, loved it. And this is the only show that I watched from start to finish every episode of the way through. Because even when TNG started, you know, I watched Star Trek on occasion with my dad, but I was still too young to really kind of be really into it. And so I didn't actually get into TNG until its later years. I was slow to warm with DS9. And then I actually, and I know some people are going to write me hate mail for this, but I gave up on Enterprise after a while and I am redeeming myself. I'm rewatching it now. So get off my back. But with Voyager, there was just something about it that really endeared it to me. And I think what it was for me was the characters. I love Janeway. I loved Torres, and believe it or not, I initially did not hate Neelix. I thought he was going to be one of the most unique aliens out there, but then actually I ended up kind of trading places. I thought the Doctor was fantastic. But I saw so much potential in this series, and you know, I'm sure as this show goes on, we're going to talk about what they did right and what they didn't do that was so hot, but there was just so much promise for this show. And I was in love with it.
Because there were a lot of mistakes in Star Trek Voyager. I mean, I hope people don't think that we're going to be, you know, blind to such things. Because there's, you know, like Voyager gets a lot of criticism online. And we're not going to ignore that. We're going to address it head on. It just doesn't bother us as much as it bothers other people.
I think
that's the main difference between the three of us and a lot of other people out there.
Right. I consider Voyager my nostalgic favorite. Because what you mentioned earlier, Tristan, about this being the time when I was coming of age, so many memories associated between Voyager and my life, and that time of my life, becoming who I was, you know, eventually going to come up to be. And, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's a nice little play in the Wayback Machine sandbox in a way.
It's true. I mean, to me... TOS reminds me of my parents, TNG reminds me of my childhood, you know, Voyager reminds me of my teenage years, and DS9, I mean, I watched when I was younger, but I didn't love it as much as I do now, because I'm an adult, and I can appreciate the darker themes more, so I kind of associate that with college and adulthood, basically.
Right.
So yeah,
I'm with you.
Yeah, Voyager holds a special nostalgic place in my heart.
It does.
And hopefully a lot of the listeners, too.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for the first ever episode of To the Journey. And I think that was a successful episode. We, as a podcast, would love to hear from you guys. We want to know what you think. We want to know what you have to say, what you want us to talk about. Please contact us at trek.fm/contact. Write us however much you like, and we'll cut it down for air. And while you're online, please go to iTunes and subscribe to us. Give us a review. Tell us how you think we're doing. It's how we get more hits. It lets us know that we're getting more listeners. We can do more of everything. And you can find me on Twitter at TheInsaneRobin. There you can find all of my links to my Hyper Channel shows, as well as my Star Trek Question of the Day, which is a lot of fun. It's yes. It's exactly what it sounds like, where I ask a question, and everybody chimes in. They use the hashtag, and it's a great way to find new followers on Twitter and just get involved in a Trek community, because that's the entire reason why I'm on Twitter right now, is just for the Trek community. Mm-hmm. And Charlene, how can we find you on Twitter?
Well, you can find me on Twitter answering Tristan's question of the day, most days anyway. You can find me, I am Oh the Profanity. And sometimes the tweets do have profanity, just as a warning.
Just as a warning.
You have been warned.
Yes.
Lori, how about you?
You can find me at LoriS68 on Twitter. So
awesome.
Good. And you will recognize her by seeing a Catherine Janeway avatar.
Oh, yeah.
Hipster Janeway.
Yeah. Hipster Janeway.
After Halloween.
Is there any other kind?
No, there is no other kind.
All right, well, there you have it. That's how you can find us on Twitter. And please contact us at trek.fm/contact. And next week, please tune in, because we're going to talk about the early relations between Starfleet and the Maquis, what they could have done better and what they got right. So thank you for listening. And remember, to the journey!
To the journey!